RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. President Joko Widodo wants the endowment fund for education to encourage boosting the nation's competitiveness. The increasing positive trends of Indonesia-Bangladesh cooperation. Indonesia president has ordered ORI continuation to prevent diphtheria. And now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo emphasized the importance of managing the endowment fund for education for the improvement of the quality of Indonesian human resources. In the limited cabinet meeting that took place at Bogor Palace in West Java on Wednesday, 27 of December, he said that the endowment fund for education must be managed measurably, starting from the recruitment process of scholarship recipient, the selection of field of study for scholarship recipient, to the determination of student destination countries. In addition, the endowment fund for education should be utilized for research financing that fosters the nation's competitiveness, especially in the midst of the technological advances nowadays. I also ask that the endowment fund for education can also be found to finance research that encourages the competitiveness of the nation, which is related to energy, food, and anticipate the technological disruption, digital economic development, and other productive researches. The condition is that the research results do not accumulate in the library. President Joko Widodo added that the endowment fund for education should be able to touch the Indonesian employment sector. He views that currently the Indonesian workforce is in need of upgraded skills. This can be carried out with an educational scholarship scheme as well as vocational training for Indonesian workers. The endowment fund for education is a fund set aside by the Ministry of Finance for the development of education in Indonesia, which is generally used in the form of scholarship. The positive trend of relationship between Indonesia and Bangladesh in the economic sector has increased. Extraordinary and plenipotentiary Ambassador of the Republic of Indonesia to Bangladesh and Nepal, Rina Sumarno, to Radio Republik Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday, 27 of December, said the cooperation between Indonesia and Bangladesh in the field of trade and investment is going better. During the period of June to December, a number of economic cooperation agreements, among others the Memorandum of Understanding in the field of energy supply signed by the Indonesian Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Ignatius Jonan, and the Minister of Energy of Bangladesh. While Indonesia will export liquefied natural gas,
Bangladesh sedang sangat giat membangun
Bangladesh
dan membutuhkan
energi. Building and consuming
dan dalam hal ini,
in this case, LNG
will be supplied by Indonesia.
Besides coal energy, Bangladesh also needs to build a power plant to supply the electricity
that
two countries have also renewed air service agreement in October. In the near future, hopefully, there will be a direct connection between Indonesia and Bangladesh.
Ambassador Rina Sumarno added that Bangladesh became one of the countries in South Asia that attracted investors from Indonesia. According to her, to invest in Bangladesh, there has been better prospect. Bangladesh has become a central point for expansion for other South Asian countries, such as Nepal. For trade relations, Indonesia has exported coal, palm oil, paper, and mineral materials to the Bangladesh. Indonesian President Joko Widodo ordered the Ministry of Health, along with his staff, to continue providing immunization to the public regarding the efforts to prevent diphtheria. Indonesian Health Minister Nila Muluk, after attending a limited cabinet meeting on extraordinary disease response on Wednesday, 27 of December, at the Bogor Presidential Palace in West Java, said the president has ordered his staff to continue preventive measures through outbreak response immunization or ORI mechanism in three provinces West Java, Jakarta Special Administration DKI Jakarta, and Banten. According to Minister Nila Muluk, the immunization vaccine in the three provinces is already running 50% and will continue until early 2018. He explained the vaccine will continue to other areas in Indonesia, which is the area of diphtheria dissemination. The president says, "We keep doing handling steps like ORI. We are also handling hygiene as well. New immunization coverage for three provinces already covers 50%. We will continue to other provinces. The most important thing is the vaccine logistic. The vaccine produced in Indonesia from Bio Farma. We ask Bio Farma to produce the vaccine sustainably. Started on December until January, we will continue to the affected provinces." Furthermore, Minister Nila Muluk explained that the Indonesian government has decided the case of diphtheria as an extraordinary event, or KLB. It is mentioned to be an early warning tool for all parties to take anticipatory steps in handling the spread diphtheria in the society. Health Minister Nila Muluk added that he had asked the Ministry of Religious Affairs to participate in socializing the importance of diphtheria vaccine given the high number of victims due to diphtheria. As of November 2017, the Ministry of Health recorded 591 cases of diphtheria with 32 deaths in 95 districts or cities in 20 provinces in Indonesia. A substantial amount of tourists from Malaysia and Singapore often visit the Karimun Islands in Riau during the Christmas and New Year's holiday. The Department of Tourism and Culture official Benny Yudhistira at Tanjung Balai Karimun recently said that plenty of foreign tourists visit Karimun in December. The number is also expected to grow. According to Benny, the large number of foreign visitors to Karimun Island is because of the long duration holiday and its strategic location for Singaporean and Malaysian tourists. Benny said Karimun is strategic and geographically close in proximity. Other than visiting tourist destination, he explained most foreign tourists also visit religious places, conduct their pilgrimage, and some have been known to visit their relatives. Karimun has an emotional connection with Singapore and Malaysia. Benny explained that most residents of Karimun have family members in the two countries mentioned above. He said it is not surprising that the majority of Karimun residents have passport, which is used to visit their family members there. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani has confirmed that 2018 state budget assumption do not include an increase in subsidized energy prices, either for fuels or electricity. She, however, said on Wednesday, December 28, that her ministry would closely monitor global oil prices next year to gauge fiscal risk. The ministry has to calculate the amount of subsidy and state revenue if the global oil price continue to increase. The contract price of West Texas Intermediate was $59.97 per barrel on Tuesday, 26 of December, while the price of Brent crude oil was $67.05 per barrel. Goldman Sachs estimate the price of Brent crude in the first quarter of 2018 will be about $62 per barrel, WTI $57.5 per barrel, and the Indonesian crude price ICP $59 per barrel. Meanwhile, the assumption of the IPC in the 2018 state budget is $48 per barrel. The energy subsidy has been set at 94.42 trillion rupiah for next year. The result of a stress test shows if the ICP increases $20 per barrel, the subsidy burden will increase by 11.68 trillion rupiah. Mount Sinabung in Karo Regency, North Sumatra erupted again with an amplitude of 120 millimeters and a duration of 500 seconds on Wednesday, 27 of December at 15:36 West Indonesia time. Head of Data Information and Public Relations of National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Sutopo Purwonugroho, in a press release received by Radio Republik Indonesia on Wednesday, 27 of December, said that thousands of residents were directly affected by the volcanic ash caused by the eruption of Mount Sinabung. However, no casualties occurred. The last item, Japan lenders the Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi UFJ Ltd. BTMU has reached an agreement on its takeover of 73.8% of Bank Danamon with Asia Financial Indonesia PTA Ltd. and other shareholders of the Indonesia-based bank, according to an official information from BTMU available on Wednesday, December 27, the strategic investment would be held in three phases. In the first phase, BTMU would acquire 19.9% of the share of Bank Danamon at a price of 8,323 rupiah per share, or totaling 15,875 trillion rupiah. In the second phase, BTMU hopes to acquire 20.1% more of the shares, making BTMU a 40% shareholders of the bank. The second phase is expected to wrap up in the second or third quarter of 2018, in line with the approval of the Financial Service Authority OJK. In this third phase, BTMU hopes to secure again approval to acquire more shares of Bank Danamon. In this phase, BTMU would offer opportunity for other shareholders to retain their shares or accept cash from BTMU. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo wants the endowment fund for education to encourage boosting the nation's competitiveness. The increasing positive trends of Indonesia-Bangladesh cooperation. Indonesia president has ordered ORI continuation to prevent diphtheria. And that was our news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listeners, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with the program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Looking Ahead Indonesia in 2018. The year 2017 is only 3 days ahead. The Indonesian nation will look at the year 2018, which is full of heavy challenges, both political and economic affairs, which could bring about some impacts to other fields. General election of regional head or locally called Pilkada 2018 will be held simultaneously in 171 cities or regions throughout provinces in Indonesia. In the 2015 and 2017 elections, the worry about political and socioeconomic impacts was not as frightening as what was imagined. Although there was still dissatisfaction in various regions, but in general, the election ran well. President Joko Widodo, to welcome the new year 2018, says that 2018 will be a political year. Therefore, he reminds his minister to issue policies in favor of the people. The president hopes that the ministers will not make new policies that have not been consulted publicly. He also emphasized that he will continue the government policies that had been running. Meanwhile, Minister of National Development Planning, head of the National Development Planning Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro, hopes Indonesia can learn from other countries such as Japan and South Korea in facing the political activities. In relation with the simultaneous general election of regional head in 2018 and welcoming the presidential election in 2019, Minister Bambang said the intensity of two political activities are feared to affect the Indonesian economy. He views that Indonesia is not like South Korea and Japan. Although both country prime minister change many times, there is a clear separation between economy and politics. Meanwhile, Indonesian Police Chief General Tito Karnavian affirmed that 2018 election will not disrupt economic stability. The reason is that Indonesian forces TNI and Polri had been working together to ensure that 2018 is safe. He reasons that TNI and Polri have experienced quite a lot with the activities of general election, and Indonesian people can also be said to be mature enough in terms of democracy. Indonesian nation should now learn more from what has ever happened. Maturity in seeing the current situation and conditions should rationalize the mindset of the Indonesian people. Take, for example, the Jakarta's regional election should be a good experience and barometer for political life and the general election in Indonesia. This means that the 2018 regional election has to run peacefully. Although the start of regional election is colored with high tension, the maturity and smartness of the people in deciding their votes are also high enough, and this should be a good guidance ahead. In addition, with the support of security from the National Police, Polri, and the Armed Forces TNI, and other legal institutions, it is believed that the year 2018 will be peaceful without any riots. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start an event on December 28, 1949, when Sukarno moved from the Palace of Yogyakarta to Merdeka Palace in Jakarta as President of Republic of Indonesia. His original name was Gambir Palace, with the architect by Dosaris. This palace was the witness of the history of the signing of the sovereignty of Republic of Indonesia by the Dutch government on December 27, 1949. At the time, the Republic of Indonesia was represented by Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX, while the Dutch kingdom was represented by A.H.J. Lovink, the representative of the Dutch crown in Indonesia. The day after recognition of the sovereignty by the Dutch kingdom on December 28, 1949, President Sukarno and his family arrived from Jakarta and for the first time inhabited the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta. We turn to the fact that the current December 28, 2014, on which Air Asia flight QZ8501 plane crashed in Java Sea and 162 people died. Indonesia Air Asia flight 8501 is an Airbus A320 aircraft belonging to Indonesian Air Asia, Air Asia Group, which was declared lost contact around the Java Sea near Karimata Strait when flying from Surabaya, Indonesia to Singapore on December 28, 2014, with 155 passengers and 7 crews inside the plane. On December 30, 2014, the wreckage of the plane was found to float in the Java Sea. The 162 human bodies were also found along with the discovery of debris. The plane lost contact with the air traffic controllers at around 7:24 local time while flying over the Java Sea between Kalimantan and Java, still under Indonesian traffic control at normal Gaussian altitudes and speeds. Weather analysts revealed that the plane crossed a storm cell a few minutes before it disappeared. The Indonesian Minister of Transportation said the mission aircraft did not send emergency signals. Well, listener, we end today in history. We define the great earthquake occurred in Italy on December 28, 1908. An earthquake with a measure of 7.5 on Richter scale rocked Sicily, Italy on December 28, 1908. In the disaster, more than 100,000 people were killed and most of the buildings were destroyed. Sicily is an autonomous region in Italy, located on part of the island of the country. Previously, a massive earthquake occurred there in 1783 and left about 30,000 people dead. In an earthquake that occurred in 1908, the tragedy happened around 5:21 a.m. local time. The vibration was centered about 5 miles from the inside and offshore. It was followed by a 13-meter tsunami wave, devastating nearly 100 meters to the land just moments later. However, most of the victims were killed due to the collapsed buildings. The buildings within small town in Sicily were destroyed and chaos ensued during the disaster, among them looting and robbery due to destroyed prison building. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Focus. The title of today's focus is Indonesia elected as chair of ASEAN Canberra Committee. Indonesia was inaugurated as chair of the ASEAN Canberra Committee, ACC, for the period of January-June 2018. This inauguration was given at the ACC meeting at the ambassador level of ASEAN member countries in Canberra, Australia on last Thursday. Indonesian ambassador to Australia, Yohanes Cristiarto Suryo Legowo, in his statement on Saturday stated that Indonesia's position on the ACC reflects the trust of ASEAN member state representatives in Australia for the leadership of Indonesia, especially in carrying out several important programs, one of which is the ASEAN-Australia Special Summit AASS Sydney in March 2018. Ambassador Yohanes further said that the ASEAN-Australian Special Summit will be attended by all heads of state and government of ASEAN member countries, along with Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. The implementation of ASEAN-Australian Special Summit receives great attention due to the strategic importance of the Australian government towards ASEAN, due to the potential for future partnership cooperation. Furthermore, Indonesian Ambassador Yohanes said that Indonesia leadership focuses on not only political relations but also economic cooperation, and it strengthens people-to-people relationship. Indonesia will coordinate the participation of ASEAN member countries in a number of international activities in Australia, such as National Multicultural Festival 2018 or Canberra Run 2018, which is expected to increase ASEAN's role to the public in Australia. Meanwhile, the cooperation economy field is reflected in the implementation of Business Summit and SMA Conference, both aimed to strengthen the networking of business cycles of ASEAN member countries. The ASEAN Canberra Committee, ACC, has undertaken various major activities such as the ASEAN 50th anniversary held at the Governor House along with the Governor General of Australia who served as the host. Through cooperation among representatives of ASEAN member countries in Canberra, including with various sociocultural, tourism, community and approach programs to the Australian government and parliament, it is hoped that ASEAN will become more recognized by the people of Australia. Well, listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Here is our news in brief. President Joko Widodo emphasized the importance of managing the endowment fund for education for the improvement of the quality of Indonesian human resources. The positive trend of relationship between Indonesia and Bangladesh in the economic sector has increased. Indonesian President Joko Widodo ordered the Ministry of Health along with his staff to continue providing immunization to the public regarding the efforts to prevent diphtheria. A substantial amount of tourists from Malaysia and Singapore often visit the Karimun Island in Riau during the Christmas and New Year's holiday. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani has confirmed that 2018 state budget assumption do not include an increase in subsidized energy prices either for fuels or electricity. Mount Sinabung in Karo Regency, North Sumatra erupted again with an amplitude of 120 millimeters and a duration of 500 seconds. And the last item, Japan's lender, the Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi Ltd., BTMU, has reached an agreement on its takeover of 73.8% of Bank Danamon with Asia Financial Indonesia, PTE Ltd. And other shareholders of the Indonesian-based bank. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to Yogyakarta. Stay tuned. Listener, Yogyakarta Special Region is not only famous for its cultural tourism, but also its natural tourism. One of them, in Gunung Kidul Regency, there are natural attractions where the visitors can see the Cahaya Surga or Light of Heaven from underground. This tourism place called Goa Jomblang or Jomblang Cave. Gua Jomblang is one of the world's geopark icons. Especially since 2015, the area of Mount Sewu was set by UNESCO as a new member of Global Geopark Network. But actually, exoticism of Gua Jomblang has long been known among foreign countries. Listener, to reach Gua Jomblang is not so difficult. With a travel agent, the visitors can be directly delivered to the Japanese cave. However, if you bring your own vehicle, the visitors can leave from Yogyakarta to Semanu Terminal. From Semanu Terminal, the visitors then stay to follow the guide board of Kalisuchi Tourism. Then you can follow the sign of Jomblang Cave. Meanwhile, for the visitors who use public transport, can take the bus from Terminal Giwangan, Yogyakarta to Wonosari. Then the travel continue with minibus to Semanu. From Semanu Terminal, the visitors only need to use ojek service with a tariff about 20,000 rupiah. Gua Jomblang tourism location is only open between 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Entering the Gua Jomblang is actually free, but the visitors have to ask permission to the head of village before starting down Gua Jomblang. In addition, you will need a variety of equipment and guides, so that the visitors usually must pay between 450,000 rupiah to 1 million rupiah per person. However, the price is worth. With experience during exploring the cave, the visitors will have interesting experience because Gua Jomblang is different from other caves. Gua Jomblang shape a large vertical hole with 25 meters width and 50 meters depth from ground level. To get to the bottom of the cave, the visitors must use special equipments. Listener, when arriving Gua Jomblang, the visitors will find a fairly lush plants. The plants at the bottom of the cave actually used to be on the surface of the ground, but it brought into the cave in line with the process of Gua Jomblang formation. However, the plants that growing at the bottom of the cave are not the main attraction of Gua Jomblang. When you arrive to Gua Jomblang, the visitors can see the light coming down from the top to the bottom of the cave called Cahaya Surga or Heaven's Light. However, Cahaya Surga can only be seen at 10 to 12 o'clock when the sky is clear. The phenomenon of Cahaya Surga can only be found in some places in the world. One of the places is in Gua Jomblang. So, when you visit Gua Jomblang, do not forget to capture the Cahaya Surga with your camera. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Gua Jomblang. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in My Language, informing you the traditional language of Indonesia. Listener, traditional language is a language that is spoken in particular area or by particular groups of people. Indonesia, a country wealthy of its diversity, certainly has hundreds of traditional languages. The vast archipelago, with various geography and culture, makes the number and variety of traditional languages in Indonesia greater and greater.
Sebenarnya bahasa daerah di Indonesia itu sangat banyak ya, bisa lebih dari 700.
Actually, the traditional languages in Indonesia can be more than 700. But according to the mapping done by Language Development and Fostering Agency, until October 2017, we had 652 identified and validated traditional languages.
Bahasa daerah yang sudah teridentifikasi dan tervalidasi.
That was a statement by Dr. Ganjar Harimansyah, the head of Preservation Division of Indonesian Education and Cultures Language Development and Fostering Agency, on how many traditional languages in Indonesia. The mapping carried out by the Language Development and Fostering Agency was not merely counting how many languages Indonesia has, but also preserving them from extinction. Identification and validation, the Language Development and Fostering Agency carried out fatality study on those traditional languages. The fatality study is aimed to measure the survivability of a traditional languages.
Sejak tahun 2009 sampai 2017 ini,
since 2009 until 2017, we carried out the language fatality study. We measured the survivability of every traditional language. From that study, we categorized the languages into six: extinct, critically endangered, declining, stable yet endangered, and safe.
Sangat terancam punah. Yang ketiga terancam punah, yang keempat mengalami kemunduran, yang kelima stabil tetapi terancam punah, dan yang keenam kategorinya aman.
Various efforts had been implemented by the Language Development and Fostering Agency in preserving the traditional languages from extinction. Listener, that was My Language, a program informing you the diverse traditional language in Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present some nostalgic songs from Indonesian female singer Nia Daniati. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Gelas Gelas Kaca by Nia Daniati. Happy listening.
Thank you.
Daniati is a popular female pop singer in 1980s. Nia began to be known since she often dedicated songs composed by Rinto Harahap, an Indonesian singer and songwriter. One of the songs that make Nia Daniati very popular and received by music lovers in Indonesia was Glass Glass Kaca. The song was released in 1985. Nia Daniati not only good in singing pop songs, she has also brought Sundanese songs for several times. Besides as a singer, Nia also played in some films. Nia's talent for acting is also very good. It was proved by nominating her as the best actress in the Indonesian Film Festival in 1980 for her character in the film Antara Dia dan Aku. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Semalam di Cianjur by Nia Daniati. Happy listening.
Semalam di Cianjur.
The song Semalam di Cianjur by Nia Daniati. This song was firstly popularized by Alfian Harahap. The song is being hits and remembered all the time. Many Indonesian musicians have arranged back the song Semalam di Cianjur. Besides Nia Daniati, Bruri Pesolima and Juni Syara once arranged back this legendary song. The song tells the story about someone who falling in love with a girl in Cianjur. But unfortunately, he only stopped for a day in Cianjur. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Tak Ingin Seperti Dia and Senja di Batas Kota by Nia Daniati. Happy listening, sampai jumpa.
Diri dirinya tiada waktu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.